According to the daily arrest reports from the Marshalltown Police Department, Douglas Baker, the man that was wanted for the robbery on Main Street, has been arrested. He turned himself in to the Marshalltown Police Department Sunday night after an arrest warrant was issued for him last week. Last weekend was the first weekend for the Cartwright Downtown Farmers Market in Marshalltown. Trisha Wilder with the Farmers Market says they have over 30 vendors confirmed of who will be participating throughout this year. And she says the farmers market continues to grow.
Every year we kind of get a handful more of vendors that come back as full-time permanent vendors. And I think we're going to see that with some of the new ones you're going to see this season. For the whole season, we have a total of 34 currently that are confirmed.
She says some vendors will be there every time, but others will come more on a rotation.
They'll be there like twice a month, or they only come on Saturdays, or they won't be coming until their farm comes in, which won't be till the end of May or early June.
The Cartwright Downtown Farmers Market is open Saturdays 9 a.m. to 12 o'clock noon, and on Wednesdays from 4 p.m. to 7. You can learn more by heading to their Facebook page, which is called Cartwright Market. Coming this Saturday, the United States Postal Service will be doing their food drive in Marshalltown. The mail carriers are asking people to set out food before their mail arrives on Saturday, May 9th.
We just hope that everybody will grab a couple things and put it in a bag out by their mailbox. Have it there early because they're not going to come back through and look for more. Have it out there. And if you just have two or three things in a bag, all of that added up through the whole town makes a huge difference for us.
Right. That's Cindy Starin, a volunteer with the Emergency Food Box. She shares that they have been receiving food for this drive for over 30 years.
And so some of the things that we're actually needing right now, we are needing canned fruits and vegetables, and especially canned tomatoes and tomato sauce, diced tomatoes, the Rice-A-Roni hamburger helper kinds of things. Also cake mixes, frostings, sugar. Some of the summer kind of condiments like pickles as we get ready for summertime, barbecue sauce, salsas.
The food collected Saturday morning will be split between the Marshalltown Emergency Food Box and the Salvation Army. Set your food out before the mail comes Saturday, May 9th. Parents who wondered if their car seat fit properly for their child, there's an event coming up Saturday, May 16th to help you figure that out. CAPS, Child, Adolescent, and Parent Support, is teaming up with the Marshall County Sheriff's Office for a car seat safety event.
This is a free event for families who are looking to have their car seat checked out, make sure it's installed correctly. They can answer just general questions about child passenger safety. If you have a brand new car seat and you don't know how to install it, bring it. They will help you with that.
That's Nikki Hartwig, grant administrator with CAPS, and she shares that this event is coming up May 16th from 12 o'clock noon to 2:30 at Carl of Marshalltown.
And we do ask that if you are coming to the event to please bring your child with you. So they will take your child's height and weight and make sure that that seat fits them specifically.
Hartwig says this event has helped families identify seats that are expired, recalled, or have broken parts. Follow CAPS on Facebook for more information. Friday, May 1st, a Des Moines man pled guilty to 3 counts of attempted sexual exploitation of a child and 1 count of possession of child pornography. According to the public court documents, Tyler Boyd Pavlik, age 33, placed a mini video camera in the tank of a porta potty at 3 Central Iowa events, co-ed middle school and high school cross country meets, one held in State Center on September 23rd of last year, and another held in Osceola on September 30th. There was also an arts, craft, and harvest event held in Des Moines on October 4th. Law enforcement seized electronic devices during a search of Pavlik's Des Moines residence on October 15, 2025, including mini cameras that were the same model as those seized by police from the porta potties in State Center and Des Moines. One of the electronic devices seized from Pavlik's residence contained video footage of minors using the porta potty at the Osceola event, including footage of a minor under the age of 12. Pavlik is scheduled to be sentenced July 31st. The legislature has approved a plan lawmakers say will reduce property taxes for Iowa homeowners by about $4 billion over the next 6 years. After almost 5 months of negotiations, the bill was approved Sunday in the closing hours of the 2026 Iowa legislative session. Senator Dan Dawson, a Republican from Council Bluffs, is chairman of the Senate Ways and Means Committee.
This General Assembly came here with a purpose, and the unified purpose with the Iowa governor, the Iowa House, and the Iowa Senate was to provide property tax relief for Iowans. Today, we deliver on that promise.
Iowa homeowners will get a homestead tax exemption of up to $20,000, and the plan shifts $175 million in state funding to public schools. That move will also reduce taxes on all classes of property. There is a 2% limit on annual property tax revenue growth in cities and counties, although the cap would not apply to paying debts or employee benefits and buying liability insurance. Republican Representative Carter Nordman of Dallas Center is chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee.
This is significant reform that delivers real, tangible relief and certainty for the Iowa taxpayer.
All but one Democrat in the Senate supported the plan, but a couple of Republicans and 20 Democrats in the House voted against it. House Democratic Leader Brian Meyer says it's another band-aid on a broken property tax system. He says, "I don't think it'll do much to actually lower property taxes. I don't think people will see actual results." Representative Amy Wackendall, a Democrat from Hiawatha, called it a Frankenstein bill.
If you are a renter in Iowa, which 40% of Iowans are, you lose under this bill.
Multifamily units have been taxed like single-family homes for over a decade, and the plan will gradually raise property taxes on apartment and condo buildings to 6% within 3 years. Supporters of the move say, unlike a home, multifamily buildings are owned by people who are aiming to make a profit. The House and Senate convened early Saturday morning to begin their quest to complete the 2026 legislative session. There were long periods of inactivity in public as key lawmakers met privately, sometimes with the governor, to hammer out a property tax plan. Legislators grew weary as Saturday night became Sunday morning.
I know it's late, but remember, this is your final opportunity to speak on both the amendment and the bill before us.
It's so late, it's early, Madam President.
Sleep-deprived lawmakers nudge their colleagues to keep plugging away.
We don't always get everything that we want, but this bill, I think, is pretty close.
The Iowa House then completed its work at 6:11 p.m. Sunday. The Senate adjourned nearly an hour later at 7:07. If you heard the ping-pong of hail on your roof sometime last month, you were not alone. State climatologist Justin Glisson says we had 130 severe hail reports in April, and it wasn't limited to Iowa.
You look across the Midwest and even the southern states, monster hail across the southern states. We haven't seen that size of hail on a widespread basis here in Iowa.
There were many reports of hail big enough to do some damage.
We did have 21 reports of 2-inch or more diameter hail across the state.
There were reports and pictures online of hail in some cases covered the ground and made it look like it had snowed. Glisson says certain weather conditions create the balls of ice that plop down on us.
That's a reflection of the ingredients that come together for thunderstorms, less wind shear in the environment, less directional wind shear in the environment, so less rotation, more updrafts going higher up, and higher up updrafts produce more hail reports as opposed to tornadic activity.
Glisson says this month might have less hail than what we just experienced in April.
Short-term outlooks that get us into the first half of May are showing a cooler signal and also a lean dry signal, so a less active storm track, at least for the first two weeks of the month.
The longer-term picture is showing the potential for a quieter weather month overall. Glisson says farmers and everyone will be happy if May ends up being a less active, severe weather month. Coming up, we're going to check in with Iowa's Ag Secretary and if there's been any spread of the pseudo-rabies virus. It's 1210.
Parents of Marshall County, time is running out. If your student is headed to an Iowa community college, or university, don't miss this opportunity to make paying for school easier. The Frank Pierce Trust offers educational loans at just 1% interest, but the deadline is almost here. This trusted local program has helped students succeed since 1950, and applying is quick and simple. But you must act now. The application deadline is May 31st, 2026. Go to frankpiercetrust.com and apply today. That's frankpiercetrust.com, before time runs out.
And welcome back. 74 degrees. Let's go back with Zach Talmish now in the newsroom.
The state ag secretary and state veterinarian says there are no concerns that there's been any spread of the pseudorabies virus after it was discovered in a small herd of hogs in central Iowa. Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Negg says the virus has been traced to five boars brought from Texas that had contact with wild boars.
A spillover event from the wild population to an outdoor population, and then a spillover event into a commercial site, a small commercial site here in Iowa.
The disease was eradicated in the United States in commercial hog population, and the last case in Iowa was back in 2004. Negg says they believe there was no spread after testing the other pigs.
The other pigs on that site ultimately tested negative. We did not have any other additional positive tests outside of the five that were originally shipped from Texas, which gives us a strong indication that given that there was no spread within the facility, there's a strong indication that there was no spread outside of the facility either.
State veterinarian Jeff Kiesan says pseudorabies was eradicated using vaccines.
We cannot use vaccine now, and there's no need to, because we are not in an endemic disease situation. This is contained, appears to be totally contained, and it's not. Once we get the testing done, we'll have a better idea, but we're not expecting area spread.
Secretary Negg says there are less than 100 hogs in the Iowa operation where the boars tested positive for pseudorabies, and they will be destroyed. Before the 2026 legislative session ended, the Iowa House and Senate have approved a bill that outlines $1 billion in state spending for Iowa's education system in the next academic year. It includes a 1.4% increase in state funding for community colleges, which had requested a 4% increase. Representative Dan Gelbach of Urbandale says Iowa's three state-supported universities are getting a flatline budget, which means no increase from the current year.
You know, before we ask taxpayers and students to pay more, it's about using existing dollars more wisely, cutting duplication, streamlining administration, and focusing on programs that serve students and our workforce needs as Iowans.
Representative Eleanor Levin, a Democrat from Iowa City, says the plan misses the mark.
The funding levels for community colleges in this budget, the status quo funding for the region's universities in this budget, they don't reflect pride in our education system.
Senator Herman Quernbach, a Democrat from Ames, says the students at the three region's universities are seeing their tuition rates increase as a result of this plan.
I'm concerned about the future of the students that I have taught in my classroom at Iowa State, also the private college students, because the tuition grant program for private colleges also has zero increase.
The bill sets aside $500,000 to help Iowa school districts enhance cybersecurity. There's also a 2% increase in state funding for the Iowa School for the Deaf in Council Bluffs and statewide education services for blind and visually impaired students.